Justine. The moment after Justine realized she wasn't dead was the most tranquil point in her entire life. What, as a 5-year-old, she'd imagined walking into biblical heaven would be like, just lacking the angels. Once she acknowledged she actually was still alive, she checked round while the feeling shrank back down, as if wounded by her practicality. She could hear her heart beating. She was breathing. Exo images revealed other body functions were nominal, including the macrocellular clusters and bionics. The cabin lighting remained on. Gravity field held steady. Status? She asked the Silver Bird smart core. Life support operational. Secondary systems performing at optimal post-damage level. Hyperdrive inoperative. What's wrong with it? The smart core didn't respond at once, which sent a chill down her spine. If it was taking this long to diagnose the failure, the damage must be significant. She stood up and walked over to the galley alcove. The bruising on her legs and back from getting thrown around made her draw breath. Quantum state of this location does not correspond to external universe parameters. Wow, Justine replied. She stared at the section of bulkhead nearest to the smart core. Well, we knew it was different inside the void. Okay, show me where here is, please. Her exo-image wrapped her in the view gathered by the hull sensors. Justine gasped in delight as the glowing nebulas of the void shimmered softly all around her. As she watched, she could see movement amid some of the far-flung patches of luminescence, just as they had when the Water Walker gazed up at them from Quarentia. Stars glinted through the exotic ragged veils, light-years distant. Wait. Distant? In every direction? Where's the void's boundary? Unknown, the smart core replied. But we came through it less than a minute ago. Yes. Oh, crap. What about nearby objects? Can you sense anything? Like the Sky Lord? No radar return inside 5 million kilometers. No visual acquisition of any large mass. Heiss radar inoperative. No local gravity field registering. Hell. It's dumped me in the middle of nowhere. Justine slumped down in the chair, at a loss what to do or feel. Then she remembered one of the marvels of the void. I wonder. She smiled tentatively and looked at the glass of chilled white wine the culinary unit had just produced for her, closed her eyes and tried to let her mind find it. Strange shadows swept through the darkness, a lot duller than anything she'd ever perceived in the Gaia field. Justine snapped her eyes open. Farsight. Okay, then. Now we're cooking. She smirked at the wine glass and imagined reaching out for it, lifting it high. The surface of the pale white liquid trembled, producing a tiny ripple. Then the base of the glass tilted up a fraction. Yes! She laughed exultantly. Another 10 minutes saw the glass shift a couple of inches. All right. Not exactly the Water Walker's strength, but I've only just got here. And it's all real. Every single one of Inigo's dreams is real. Holy shit. Start cataloging the constellations, she told the smart core. See if you can find any which match the ones that are visible from Quarentia. Also, locate the nearest star. Once it had begun that task, she stripped off and went for a good long shower. A real one, with water and gel. No modern spore rubbish. Her flight through the gulf had lasted for what seemed like an eternity, leaving her stressed, aching and exhausted. The tiny TD link back to her father had revealed the support and encouragement of a good proportion of her species, which had buoyed her along at the time. Now the residue of that emotion had fallen on her as an awesome feeling of responsibility. She was the ambassador for an entire universe to a whole different universe. It was all getting a bit much for her poor old biological brain to cope with. After the shower, she ate a decent salmon en croûte and mint-buttered Jersey potatoes, washed down with some champagne. The smart core still hadn't recognized any nebulas by the time she'd finished her raspberry pavlova. She was asleep less than a minute after lying down on the bed which the cabin extruded for her. 10 hours later she woke, rested and almost immediately impatient. The smart core still couldn't find a recognizable nebula, not even with meticulous three-dimensional projection of the ones it could map. Whatever angle it examined them from, they simply didn't match. Either she had emerged a very long way from Querentia, or so much time had passed inside the void that they had simply changed beyond recognition. Neither option was good. The nearest star was 3 light-years away. There was no detectable mass point between her and it. Justine ate a light lunch and told herself it was never going to be easy. Perhaps the Sky Lords were sailing towards her in their fabulously serene fashion. They were all slower than light creatures, after all. That afternoon she rubbed medicating salves on her bruises and ordered the gym to extrude for an hour's workout. She went to sleep with music playing quietly in the background, feeling not a little annoyed with the Sky Lord, and perhaps just a tinge claustrophobic. Or maybe that was agoraphobic. Would being completely alone in a universe bring a sensation of closing limitations or infinitely expanding horizons with associated loneliness? On the second morning she had a light breakfast of eggs and toast, the lightweight plastic cup containing her freshly squeezed quarringe juice drifted across the cabin from the culinary unit and nestled into her open waiting physical hand. Yes! Bandits and Ranelly, watch out! There's a badass new girl in town. 2 days later, every nebula had been thoroughly analyzed. Justine had to face up to the simple fact. She was completely lost. She ran a review of the ship's capability. The direct mass converter could power her almost indefinitely. Her small level 7 replicator could produce most of the ship's components. The few bots on board were capable of high-level maintenance. And best, or worst of all, the medical cabinet could hold her in stasis for over a century without serious damage to her current body. It could also grow a clone and download her stored memories into it if her situation became extreme. All in all, it was a pretty crappy way of whiling away your immortality. However, the smart core did report a few disturbing irregularities. Not everything functioned perfectly the whole time. She saw unexplained glitches in the log of some systems. They'd always gone when she ordered a real-time review, and the analysis never gave any reason why they'd occurred in the first place. The only constant was that the more sophisticated the system, the more susceptible it seemed to be to the odd malaise. She took another day to make her decision, or rather nerve herself up for what she knew had to be done. The ships which had brought the Waterwalkers' ancestors to Querentia had fallen from the sky, or crashed. The legends were never clear on that. However, they had certainly never flown again. Something in the void was inimical to technology. Presumably the different quantum structure underpinning what passed for space-time in here. Though she was uneasy at the whole mental supremacy concept which the void sustained, having the mind as king opened up some disturbing potentials. It could well be that the collective heart was wishing the Silverbird to fail. She did have confidence that the Silverbird was a lot tougher at every level than the old colony ships which had somehow blundered in here all those centuries ago. Her first instruction was for the smart core to run a comprehensive analysis of the quantum structure, and from that, to determine any conceivable reconfiguration which would make the FTL drive function again. Secondly, she used the small onboard confluence nest to amplify her own thoughts as she composed a message of greeting to the Sky Lords, asking them to find her, asking them to fly to her. A message it repeated ceaselessly. After that, the ingrav started to accelerate the little starship to 0.7 light speed towards the nearest star, a velocity which would take her there in a little over 4 years. The force fields could cope with a dust cloud impact at that velocity. Justine ordered the smart core to revive her at regular intervals, or in case of emergency. She reviewed the sensor images one last time. Nothing had changed outside. With that, she stepped into the medical chamber and began the suspension process.